Beginning current daf Masechet Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Gimel begins 7 lines up from the top of the Amud. We begin the next Mishnah, and the Mishnah continues the theme of the previous Mishnah, is talking about the permissible ways of moving Muktzah on Shabbos. So our Mishnah begins. Bishama Omer Mavir. Bishama says that one is allowed to move with his hands Me'al Shulchan from that's on the table. A lot of times people eat meals and then there's stuff left over on the table. He's allowed to move Atzamos, bones that are very hard and they're not even fit for even dogs to eat. Uklipin and shells, husks of nuts that reason is that Bishamai does not hold of the broad spectrum of Muktzah. He considers all these items have no purpose, doesn't make a difference since at one point they did, therefore there's no problem about actually just picking up them, the bones themselves, and throwing them in the garbage. He does not apply to the concept, the broader concept of Muktzah. However, Basila say, Misalakas Atavlakula, you're allowed to move away the entire table, because the table has a status of a vessel on it. It's not a mukta item, the table. Therefore, you can move the table. Umanara, then shake off the bones and the shells that are on it. But however, you cannot move the actual peels and the shells with your hands. And that is because Basila ascribes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who has a broader spectrum of the opinion of mukta. And therefore, these things are going to be usur. Therefore, you can't actually touch them. You can only just shake them off the table. Mishnah continues, Mavirin me'al ha'shulchan, one is allowed to take off from the table, peirurin pachas me'gezayis, crumbs that are smaller than the size of gezayis, and definitely they're the size of a gezayis, as the Mishnah goes on to explain, because since they're fit to be fed to animals, so though people generally don't eat crumbs that are that small, however, it still has some viability, still fit for animals, and therefore it's not considered muktzah. And therefore, so regarding crumbs that are smaller than the gezayis, and b'seir shel apunin, and regarding pods, that are of kidneys, of legumes, which is that the pods are the places where the legumes, the peas, that they're inside of these pods, that's where they're placed. Besayar, adoshim, and the pods and lentil pods. These things, again, you ate what was inside the pods. These things are allowed to be moved and taken off the table. Neshu Michael Behemoth, because although no one's going to eat it now, they're throwing in the garbage. However, since they're fit to be given to food as for animals as fodder, therefore you're allowed to move it. Mishnah continues, Svoig, regarding a sponge. So it depends. Im yeshloi or besachiz, if it has a handle that's made out of leather, then mekanchiboy, then you can use that sponge to wash down the table. Ve'im lav, however, if it doesn't have a handle made out of leather, ain mekanchiboy, then you cannot clean down the table with that sponge, because when you're going to hold the sponge, then it's going to be squeezing out through your fingers when you're holding onto it, and because you have to grip onto it, it's going to squeeze out the liquid that's inside. That's going to be a problem of schita on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah concludes, Ben kach ben kach nitl b'Shabbos. Either way, it could be held on Shabbos when it's dry. Ve'ein mekabel tuma. And it's not going to be kabel tuma. So whether it has a handle or not, if it's dry, it's not muktzah, it could be held. However, it's not never going to be kabel tuma. That is because it's not a kli, it's not a wooden utensil, it's not a bag, it's not a garment, it's not a sack, it's not a sackcloth, and it's not matech, it's not metal, and those are the four items that are mentioned in the Pesukim for things that are mekabel tuma. And since it's not one of those things, therefore, it's not mekabel tuma, and again, it could be moved on Shabbos, whether it has a handle or not. It just cannot be cleaned up to be used to clean up a table if it doesn't have a handle made out of leather, which would be non-absorbent and not have a concern about doing schita on Shabbos. So now, Gemara says, related to this machlokes in our Mishnah between Bisham and Basil, Amar Rav Nachman, Onu Ein Lanu. That is, we do not rely on the version that our Mishnah quotes in the machlokes between Bisham and Basil the way it is. Ella, rather, it's exactly the opposite, it's reversed. Bishamai is of the opinion that you have to take the table and shake it off like a Behuda, who has the broader spectrum of the Issa of Muktzah. And Basil was the one, to the contrary, that says, no, you could take off the bones by hand and throw it in the garbage. Again, because Basil are the ones who hold like Reb Shimon, and that's the way we hold the halacha, that is like Reb Shimon, who has a very narrow type of a version of Muktzah, and therefore it's permitted to actually take it with one's hands. So Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, Mavir me'al ha'shulchan peirurin, the one could take off from the table crumbs, even crumbs smaller than the size of gezayis. So the Gemara says, Misayei l'Rabbi Yochanan, this supports a statement that Rabbi Yochanan had said. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, peirurin she'im ben gezayis, regarding crumbs that are smaller than the size of a gezayis, than the size of an olive, Oster la'ad miyad, you're still not allowed to throw it and destroy it with one's hand. And where do we see that on the Mishnah? From the fact that our Mishnah says that mavirin b'yadayim, you can take it off the table, even if it's less than the size of a gezayis, again, because it's fit for animals. But it didn't say that zarek lu, that you throw it away. That's coming to teach you that idea. You can take it off the table, but not to destroy it, because that would be an issur. That's forbidden to do with one's hand. That's like Rabbi Yochanan said, that even if it's smaller than the size of a gezayis, it should not be thrown into the garbage. Again, you could be mavirin, you could take it off, but not zarek, and you don't throw it away. So our Mishnah said Seir Shel Apunin regarding pea pods, that we said that although you ate the peas, you ate the legumes, however the pods itself are not considered a problem of muktzah, again because they can be given to animals to feed, and therefore you could take it off the table directly with one's hand. So the Gemara says, Mani, who is the town of our Mishnah? Obviously Reb Shimon, he delesley muktzah. It's like Reb Shimon that does not subscribe to the broader spectrum of muktzah, because had the Mishnah been Reb Yehuda, then it would be a problem to actually move the pea pods, because from yesterday, from before Shabbos, these pea pods were not designated for animals, because the peas, the legumes were inside of it, and it was for human consumption. Now today, when they took the peas out, so now humans are not eating the pods, so now only today on Shabbos it becomes fit for the animals. That's what would be called, according to Reb Yehuda, as noilid. It would be a new concept, a new object with a new function, and therefore that would be in the category of muktzah according to Reb Yehuda. So our Mishnah that holds there's no problem about moving it is obviously Reb Shimon. However, Amos Seif, look at the Seif of our Mishnah, said Svaig, regarding a sponge, we said, if it has a handle made out of leather, then you can use it to wipe down the table. If not, you can't use it to wipe it down. Now, Asan Rabbi Yehuda, that seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Dava Shemes Kavanasa, that says something that's not intended, it's still also because the person's not intending to squeeze the juice, that's the liquid that's inside the sponge out, but it might happen. It's something that's not intended to do, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's usher. Now, our mission that says that when you're washing down with the sponge, you're not intending for it to be squeezed out, to squeeze it out, which is chita, and yet our Mishnah still says that's usher. That's like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. So who's the town of Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda? And that the Gemara says that really it's Reb Shimon. Why is the sponge a problem? Because Bahafel Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon even would agree in that case also. The Abaye of Rava, Damri Tavayu, Reb Shimon Sikrishi Velayomis. Because Abaye and Rava both said that although Reb Shimon allows someone to do something, even though a malacha might happen if it's not intended to do, that's only if it's not inevitable. But if it's what's called psik reishe b'lo yomis, that is when you're chopping off a chicken's head, I only want the head, I don't want him to die, but psik reishe, you chop off his head and he's not going to die, of course he's going to die, it's inevitable. Things that are inevitable, though that's not, wasn't my intention, but I know it's going to happen, that's considered as if it's a malachas machsheves, as if I'm intending to it, and therefore it's going to be awesome. So here, where it's inevitable that the liquid will be squeezed out of the sponge, although that's not my intention, therefore even Reb Shimon would agree that it's usher, and that's why you need to have a leather handle. The Gemara continues, Hanigarina de Tamri Armasa, regarding the pits of these Aramean dates, which these are things that are, the pits are fit for animal food, Shori L'Taltalino, you're allowed to move those pits. And what's the reason? L'Chaira, pits should be a problem, they're not fit for humans, it can have the possibility of Noilid, it's in the category, the broader spectrum of Mukta. So the reason is, Hoyil V'Chazin Agav Iman, since they're fit, through their mother, which is a euphemism to say that because these Armenian dates are very of poor quality. And people would actually feed their animals the dates themselves. And therefore, since the dates themselves are fit for the animals, Sirosa, the pits, are part of that product which was always fit for animals. So it's not noilid, it's not a new introduction of a pit which was part of a product for humans, which was the dates, and then now it's for animals. No, it was always fit for animals because the dates are of poor quality. They sometimes give the animals the dates themselves. So therefore, you're allowed to move it. However, udeparsiyasa, but the Persian dates, where they were of higher quality and they wouldn't give those type of dates to their animals, so also then those pits would be forbidden because of the quality of muktzah that's attached to the pits, that now it's not any more fit for human consumption, and therefore it's muktzah. And therefore the Gemara says that Shmuel matatluhu agar rifta, and Shmuel was machmer like this opinion, so to speak, like the broader spectrum of muktzah like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he didn't actually move the date pits themselves, he would only move it through a piece of bread, and therefore, since the bread was allowed to be moved, he had the pits and moved it through the vehicle of the bread itself. As the Gemara continues, it says, Sharnam Shapa Simon. It says seven different, it's an acronym for the names of seven different chachamim of regarding what they did for the movement of the date pits on Shabbos, because on some level there's a halacha of muktzah attached to these date pits. So what did they do with it when they ate it? What can you do with it to get rid of it? So the Gemara says, as we just mentioned before, Shmuel Tamei, Shmuel went according to his opinion, that the way he would get rid of it was that he would use the bread as a vehicle to move it. Da'amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says, Oysa Adam Kol Tzarecha B'Pas, a person can use all his necessities, he can use the utility of a bread in all forms for whatever he has to use it for. And it's not considered bizarre and the disgrace for the bread. He could use it to wipe up the food that he's eating and eat it that way, and even to use it, as we said in this case, as a vehicle to transport his date pits. That was the shin. The reish is rabba metatluhu agav lakna demai. He would transport the date pits through a jug of water, and he would use that jug as a way to transport the date pits, but not directly with his hand because of the quality of muktza on some level that there is to the date pits. The nun, Rav Huna, bered Rav Yeshua, avilahu kagrav shel rei. He would make his date pits like a pile, like a basket of excrement. And that is, he would pile up the date pits when he would be eating it until it was disgusting, this huge pile of date pits. And then he would take it away as the heter of grav shel rei when there's a bucket of excrement that you're allowed to get rid of it. That's a special dispensation that the chacham gave, that you're allowed to get rid of the mukta item that way, and then he would give it to his animal. So here also he would create a grav shel rei, and then he would be able to get rid of it. However, Amalei Rav Ashi la Meimer, that's the Mem, he argued and said, "V'chi oisin grav shel rei likatchila, are you allowed to initially make a grav shel rei?" That's not true. Grav shel rei is not a heter to go ahead and create. It's only if something happens, then you're allowed to go ahead and get rid of it. But you can't go ahead and create a situation where it's going to be to then to get rid of it. And therefore, you can't do the mahalach that he did to make this huge pile and then to be able to take it out. Then the shin is, and the next three are the approaches that this is the shapaz, the last three, is that they didn't actually move it. They would do something to create a situation where they wouldn't have to move it afterwards. And that is Rav Shesh Zarglu Belishne. He would throw it with his tongue. That is, he would spit it out with his tongue to the other side of the table, that it wasn't on the table, disgusting in his face, and he had to do something with bread or a jug of water. He didn't even do that. He would just spit it out right away to a place where it wouldn't be in his way. Rav Papa Zarglu Hachare Mita, Rav Papa, and that's the pay, he would throw it behind the bed, the couch that he was reclining on. And again, he would do it in the situation where he wouldn't have to move it anymore. And the final one, the Zion, Amar Alava Rebbe Zachariah ben Avkulas, they said about him, Shal Yemachzer Panav Acharei Mita Bezark, and he would turn his head behind his bed that he was reclining on and spit it out that way. Again, to these last three would avoid the whole situation altogether and put in the area where it wouldn't get in their way. Harnolach Noit L'Odmes Benoi, we shall return to you, Perek Noit L'Odmes Benoi, the 21st Perek Masech L'Shabbos. We continue on to Amud Beis, we begin the 22nd Perek Masech L'Shabbos, Perek Chavos. The Mishnah begins. Chavos Shenishbra, regarding a barrel that broke. Now there's wine, whatever it is that's spilling out over there. Matzilin Hemen Mazon Shalosh Shudos, you're allowed to save from that barrel that's broken, it's spilling out, to save the amount that's necessary for food for 3 meals worth. And that's talking about even in a lot of different vessels, because if it was in one vessel, we said already in Perek Kol Kisvei HaKodesh on Daf Kaf Chaf Aman Aleph that you could save as much as you want if it's in one. So we're talking about as many jugs and barrels as you want, you could save up to 3 meals worth. And moreover, you could tell others, come and save for yourself. Each one could save for themselves 3 meals worth of whatever spilling out of the barrel. However, as long as you don't sponge up the liquid that's spilling out, that is, you shouldn't put a sponge where the wine is spilling out to then go ahead and put it into the keli to take it, you know, as the transportation through the sponge, because we're concerned that although it's dripping out of it, you might come to squeeze it out, and that's a problem because you can't do schita on Shabbos. So continuing on this topic of schita, the Mishnah segues into a different halacha. One is not allowed to squeeze out fruits to draw out the liquid that's inside the fruits. And that is because that's what's called mefarik. That's called extracting, which is a telada. It's a derivative of the amalach of dash, of threshing, which is when you take off the outer part that you don't want, and you take out what's inside. Here also, when you're squeezing out the fruit, you leave the fruit, which is what you don't want, and you're taking out the liquid from inside of it, which is what you want. That's mefarik, again, the telada of dash. And even if it comes out on itself and you didn't squeeze it out, that liquid will be prohibited, and that's gzeira, that's a decree, because if we allow you to drink the liquid that oozed out, you might come to actually squeeze it again, being over on the malacha of schita, of mefarik, of dash. However, Rabbi Huda argues, and he says it depends what function these fruits had that the liquid dripped out of it, if the liquid that dripped out will be usur or not. And that is imlo eichlin, if they were gathered in, let's say, a bowl, these fruits, because to be eaten, no one, there's a whole, you know, a bowl of fruit and people wanted to eat it. Then hayitzmen muta, then the liquid that oozed out, that dripped out, is going to be permitted, because no one wants this liquid to be dripping out over there, and therefore there's no reason to be concerned, to make it clear that you might come to squeeze it out when there's a bowl full of cherries or whatever it is. No one wants the liquid, no one's drinking that, we want it to eat. Therefore, when it oozes out, you could drink it because no one's coming to squeeze it out. We want to eat it, not to get the juice out of them. However, the im lamashkin. However, if the fruit was gathered there, that you were going to have to make a liquid out of it, you're going to squeeze it, you're going to make a shake, a juice out of it, then, hey, I agree to you, the chacham, the hayyitzim and aser, that whatever comes out of it, that is aser, because he's happy with the juice that's coming out of it. That's what he intended all along, and therefore there it applies to make the gzera of that you might come to squeeze it out. And that's what the Gemara Masechtas Beis says, that the reason why what's called mashkin shazavu, liquid that drips out and oozes out of fruit, that it's aser, is because of this concern that you might come to squeeze it, which Rabbi Yehuda says only applies if that's the purpose, what you wanted the fruits for. You wanted to make a shake out of it, you wanted to squeeze it out. But if you didn't want to, then there's no reason to be concerned that we should prohibit the juice that oozed out because you might come to squeeze it out. Similarly, the Mishnah concludes and says, Chalis Dvash, Shariskan Merav Shabbos, regarding honeycombs that was squeezed, that was crushed from before Shabbos, the Yotzim Atzman, and they came out, the honey's coming out on its own on Shabbos, Asurin, they're prohibited. Rebbe Leza holds that it's permitted. And the reason is because once you crush honeycombs, then the honey really flows out by itself. It comes out of the wax. And it's not the way for people to have to squeeze it out. And that's where Rebbe Leza holds that it's mutter. The Chachamim say that it's aser is because they make a gzeira, maybe when it's not crushed, then you might come to crush it. Therefore, even when it is crushed and it's coming out, we say even then you're not allowed to go ahead and take the honey because you might come to a case where it wasn't crushed and crushed it, which would be oivan, the malacha of crushing them on Shabbos. Now the Gemara explains, we mentioned in the Mishnah, ubavachala yisbeg, as long as you don't go ahead and sponge the wine to go and transport it from one to the other because we're concerned you might come to squeeze it out. So we learned the Braisa that quotes this and other halachas. Tanu, we learned in the Braisa, lo yisbeg bayayin, the person should not sponge wine, again, the same type of thing when it's spilled out, to go ahead and bring the sponge because you might come to squeeze it out. Also, below yitapich b'shem, the person should not moisten his hands with oil, that is, he puts his palm in where the, let's say he had a broken container of oil, and the oil attaches to his hand, and he wipes it up on the edge of the vessel, there is that it's aser for a different reason. He shouldn't do it the way he normally does it during the weekday. And that's what's classically called uvd nechal. That's normally done in the weekday type of thing, that you moisten it on your hands and you put it on the edge of the kli. Therefore, that's not the way that you could do it on Shabbos. If, let's say, you want to save the oil, you can't do it that way. Similarly, other halachas regarding the isser, the prohibition, the isser derabbanan, uvd nechal, of doing weekday, mundane type of activities. Turn by lent nabraisa. Nispazulay peris b'chatzav. If someone's fruits, his produce spilled out in the courtyard, so malakit al yad v'oichel. Then you could pick up one at a time, and eat, as you pick it up, you could eat each one. Avoloy l'teichasab. You can't go ahead and gather them into a basket. Voloy l'teichakup and not into a box. And the reason is, as I said before, shalayase kederek shoyis b'chol. He should not do it the way he normally does it during the weekday. It looks like a weekday mundane activity, gathering your fruits, your produce. Therefore, that you can't do. You could go ahead and pick up one at a time and eat them. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Ein seichin es aperes, one is not allowed to squeeze out his fruits." And we had a machlokes in the Mishnah regarding this halacha of mashkin shazavu, when it does flow out on itself by its own. The question was regarding what type of fruits would we say that's prohibited and when not. There we had a machlokes in our Mishnah. However, the Gemara qualifies this machlokes. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Moida hoy Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim bezeisim banavim. Rabbi Yehuda agreed to the chachamim in the case of olives and grapes. And that is, although that it's a case of when it's gathered, when it was to be eaten, however, the juice that will come out from it, although Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that type of juice is permitted, but when it's olives and grapes, then the juice that comes out of it will be prohibited. My time, what's the reason? Well, you say that the person's intention was not to juice it, and therefore the juice that comes out should be permitted. The reason is, kivin de l'schitin, in those sins, the majority of people, and then when it comes to the grapes and olives, they will use it to squeeze it out for olive oil and for grape juice for wine. So therefore, when the liquid comes out, Yohiv Daite, he thinks he puts his thought to it. In other words, he says, you know what? It's okay, it's good. You know, wine, you know, the grapes that squeezed out or the olives that squeezed out, it's good because I can use some more olive oil, I can use some more grape juice, some more wine, and therefore he's going to be pleased with it. Although originally it was there to be eaten, so therefore we are concerned in that case that if you're going to drink it, you might come to squeeze it out and change your mind about what it was there for. And therefore, even there, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it is going to be aser in spite of the fact that it was gathered there in the bowl to be eaten and not for the juice that was coming out of it. However, Ula in the name of Rav, he argues and he says, no. Yehuda argued even in the case of olives and grapes, and that is, since these olives and grapes, although many people do it for the juice, he wanted it to be eaten, he wanted to eat olives and he wanted to eat the grapes. So now, even when the juice comes out of these two items, they would also still be permitted because that wasn't his intention for the juice, and they were not concerned that he's going to come to juice them. So the halacha, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechonon Amar, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peres. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda by other fruits, and that is, as he said, that it's only when they were gathered there for the juice, then the juice that comes out is going to be prohibited. But if it was gathered to be eaten, then it will be mutter, because again, we're not concerned that you're going to come to juices, because that's not why you had it over there. However, the ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'zeisav anavim. The halacha does not follow him regarding olives and grapes, that they we say that even if you gathered it for eating purposes, it doesn't make a difference, since the majority of them are used for the juice, for again, for olive oil and grape juice, then we are concerned that if we would allow you to drink it, then you might come to squeeze it out, and therefore it's usher to even eat or to drink them, even if it came out on itself, on its own on Shabbos. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Again, as we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chacham regarding olives and grapes, that there, even if it was put for eating purposes, the juice that comes out will be us, because again, they, the majority, do use it for juice, and we're concerned he might change his mind and then come to squeeze out the rest on Shabbos. However, the other way also, however, the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Yehuda regarding other fruits, that there, even if you gathered it for eating purposes, it's mutter, because his intent, it's the majority are not used by other fruits for juicing purposes, and his intention for putting it there was just to eat it. So even if we let him drink it, it's not, we're not concerned he's going to come to squeeze it out, because that wasn't his intention. His intention was just to eat it and not to squeeze it out. So then the Gemara asks, "Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Mai Pligi." So what are they arguing about? Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chacham by grapes and olives, that there, no matter what it was put for, it's going to be aser. And the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that there is this differentiation between if it was put there for eating or for drinking purposes, that if it's for eating, then it's going to be mutter, and if for drinking, it's going to be aser. So where do they argue? They both agreed to each other on these two different cases. So Amalei Lechit Tishkach, he says, go out and find, you'll see that there is a case somewhere in the middle where they do argue about. So Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok, Mistabra betutim b'rimayin pligi. It makes sense to say that they argue about the case of mulberries and pomegranates, that there's some people use it for the liquids that could be squeezed out of them, and therefore the Rabbanon consider these mulberries and pomegranates like olives and grapes, which are usur, because again, some people do like it, so although you put it just for eating purposes, we're concerned that you might come to squeeze it out, because people like the juices, some people do like the juice to come out of it. Whereas Rabbi Huda argues, and he says that no, it's not like olives and grapes. However, regarding other fruits, there nobody wants the juices that come out of it. And therefore, even Rabbanan agree in that case that it's going to be mutter, the juice that comes out of it, because unless if you actually put it there for juicing it, but when it's regular, people don't usually care about the juice that comes out of it, so therefore it's for eating purposes, there they agree. So there's three different levels. There's olives and grapes, where everyone agrees, no matter what you put it for, that it's going to be us or the liquid that comes out of it, because that's a real commodity, the liquid. People are into that, into olive oil and grape juice. The other end of the spectrum we have regarding other fruits, where no one wants the juice for it, unless you intentionally want the juice for it, therefore even the Chacham are not concerned if it's going to ooze out, that you might come to squeeze it. And then we have the middle ground of these tutim b'rimayinim, the mulberries and the pomegranates, where there some people are into the juice, where there the Chacham are concerned like zeisam anavim, and Rebbe is not concerned like the other fruits, that you're not going to come to squeeze it out. And where do we actually find this, that this middle ground of tutim b'rimayinim that they argue on? The time, like we learn the Braisa, that it says zeisim shemashach mehen, regarding olives, that it flowed from on itself, by its own, from the olives, shemen, that the oil came out of it. And similarly, va'anovim shemashach men yayin, regarding grapes, that the wine flowed out of it by itself, out of the grapes. Ve'echnisan, and it was originally gathered, bein la'oichel, bein la'mashkin, whether the olives or the grapes were gathered for the purpose of consuming them, or for the liquid of it, hayyitzman asr. There everyone agrees that whatever comes out of it will be forbidden. Now, tutim shemashach mehen mayim, but regarding mulberries, where the liquid, the water, came out of it by itself, v'rimayinim shemashach mehen yayin, and regarding pomegranates, that the wine, and the reason why it's called wine is because since it's very sharp, that it has the same definition as like a pomegranate wine, so this juice that comes out of the pomegranate, it comes out by itself. Now, and if it was gathered for the purpose of eating it, then hayutim en mutter, then the liquid that came out of it by itself on Shabbos is going to be permitted to drink. However, but if it was placed there for drinking purposes or plain without any intention, you didn't think why you put it there, if it was for eating or drinking, then hayutim en usr, then whatever comes out of them will be usr. That's the opinion of Yehuda. As we said, that he considers tutim b'rimayinim, that if it was placed there for eating purposes, he says he's not concerned that people are going to come to squeeze it out. It's only if you put it there for drinking or plain, stam, without any knowledge whatsoever, then it's going to be usr. However, Chacham say no. Bein loichlin, bein lamashkin. Whether the reason why you put the mulberries in the pomegranates, whether for eating it or for drinking the juice of it, hayotim and aser, either way, it's going to be prohibited. That's exactly like we said, that although they agree by Zesim HaNovim that it's always going to be aser, and Shaper is always going to be mutter, Tutim remind them, we find that they argue if it makes a difference, it was placed there loichl or not. Behuda holds it was placed there loichl, it's going to be mutter, the juice, and the Chacham holds it's going to be aser. Now Rashi tells us that, so why would Rav Nachman say it's mistarbe, that it makes sense that they argue, when it says explicitly in the Braisa that they do argue about the case of the mulberries and the pomegranates? So Rashi says, because you could say that although they argue by pomegranates and mulberries, that they also argue even by other fruits also, that there the Chacham would agree that even there the liquid that seeps out of them would be aser. And the only reason why the Braisa says it in the case of Tutim Reminim is to tell you the Chiddush Rabbi Yehuda, that even by Tutim Reminim is going to be mutter. That's why he picked such a case. And if regarding the Braisa that the Gemara is going to bring later, that from there we see that the Chum agreed to Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peres, that is, as the Gemara there is going to ask, that it's not explicitly that it's the Chum that say, you could say that it's Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we don't have any clear information that tells us that this is definitely what they argue about, and that the Chum agree by Shar Peres. It could be they argue by both Tutim Reminim and by Shah Peres, but it's mistaber. It makes sense to say that they agree by Shah Peres because no one really wants the juice from it, and everyone agrees by Zeis HaNovim, and they argue only by Tutim Reminim. But now the Gemara asks, so good, that resolves that idea about what they actually argue about. But regarding this statement that we just brought down before from Yehuda in this Braisa, that he said that by Tutim Reminim, that if it was put there lo'eichel, then it's going to be mutter, the liquid that comes out of it. But if it was there lamashkin or stam, or even he didn't have any intent whatsoever, then also the juice that oozed out of the Tutim Reminim would be aser. The Gemara asks, v'stav Rabbi Yehuda stam, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that when it's plain, that is, he didn't designate whether he's putting the mulberries, the pomegranates, for eating or for drinking, that aser, that then the liquid that came out of it by itself on Shabbos would be aser, as if it was gathered for drinking purposes, that it has the same halacha? But we learned the Mishnah Machshirin, and now the Gemara goes on to quote an intricate Mishnah in Machshirin, where our daf is going to end in the middle of this Mishnah, and then we continue with the following daf that will continue explaining the Mishnah, and ultimately we'll use this Mishnah as a way of asking on this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that it would seem like that he doesn't really consider that when it's stam, without any intent whatsoever, that it should also be usher regarding the halach of Mashkin Shazab. So the Mishnah begins. Chalev ha'isha, regarding the milk of a woman. Mitame, so the milk from a woman, that milk that comes out of it is machshir, it can make items, food items that it touches, vulnerable, susceptible to tumah, and that is, there are certain food items that they only become susceptible to tumah after it comes in contact to one of the seven liquids that are designated, that are considered liquids to be machshir something, to say that now once the sheretz or something, the tumah, it touches it, it can be kabbal tumah. So regarding the milk of a woman, it makes things susceptible, l'ratzen v'shaloi l'ratzen. Whether the milk that came out of her breast, whether it was willingly, it was intentionally taken out, or whether unintentionally, whether it wasn't done l'ratzen, because milk is always considered amashka, it's always considered a beverage, like the pasuk in Shaftim Perek Dal says, v'tiftuch es noit ha'chalav, that she opened up the container of milk, v'tashkei, she gave him to drink. We see that milk is considered amashka, whether it was intentionally taken out from the woman or not. However, chalev behema ein metame el ratzon, but the milk of an animal will only be machshir items as a liquid, as a beverage, only if it was taken out l'ratzon intentionally. And that is, if not, it will not be considered a beverage. And therefore, if later a sheretz touches that item, it will not be mekabel tumah. And the Gemara later will explain what's the difference between the milk of a woman and the milk from an animal, for example, like from a cow. So that's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Akiva says, kavo chaimahu. What do you mean? How can you say such a thing? If we find by the milk of a woman, where it's only designated, the whole purpose of a woman's milk is only for an infant that's suckling from her, and still although it's a very limited type of a beverage, still we consider it a beverage that far that it will make something susceptible to tumah, whether it was intentionally displaced from the woman or unintentionally. So chalev behema, but regarding so the milk of an animal, for example, regular milk that most people drink from a cow, shemiyuchad bein l'ktan bein l'gdem, that's used both for adults and for minors, ein adinchi tama bein l'ratzen bein shalei l'ratzen, doesn't it make sense to say that it's such a larger context of a beverage that it should be metama like chalev isha, whether it was taken out intentionally or with ratzen willingly or not willingly? So Amaloi said that the chacham answered to him, not true. You can't not make such a kavuchaimer. Because im tamei chalei v'isha shalei l'rasin, if we're saying, as we are saying, that the milk of a woman will make something susceptible to tumah, whether it was taken out from her willingly or not willingly, that's because a woman, her status is mochamer regarding making things susceptible through the liquids that come out of her. Because we find shadame gifasei tamei, that the blood of her wound, when it touches a food item, will make it hechsher, will make it susceptible to tumah. And that is that we find by the blood of a wound of a woman, that if let's say she gets a bang on her foot or her hand, or any wound that blood comes out of, it says in Perek Dam Anid, Mesechtes Nida, Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, that the Dam Chalolim, which is called the blood of the slain one, which is when someone dies, when he's killed, that blood that comes out of him is called a mashka, it's called a beverage, like the Pasuk says, V'dam Chalolim Yishta, that the blood of the slain he will drink. We see that blood coming out of a dead person, on some level is called a beverage, there's drinking applying to it. Now the blood of a wound, the Gemara over there explains, is the same as the blood that comes out of a slain person, because what do I care what the term the Gemara there says is malikatli kula, malikatli palika. What do I care if I entirely kill them or partway kill them? Killing is when the blood is taken out of the body. So when the person dies, is all his blood comes out. But when there's some blood comes out, it's a minor killing. And therefore we find that the blood of a woman, it will be considered a mashka beverage and will make an item, a food item that touches susceptible to tumah. And now milk has a similar status as the blood of her wound, because what happens is a term the Gemara gives is dam neker v'nasa chalam. The blood of a nursing woman, it congeals, coagulates, and it turns into milk. It turns into a different item. So therefore, on some level, the milk of a woman has the same status as her blood, and therefore, just like we find by dam magafasa, which is the blood of her wound, that generally that's shaloi l'ratzon, and the person doesn't want to have a wound, and still in spite of that, we say that it conveys tumah, as we said, as the Gemara in the Nigda says, that the same thing as a slain person, the blood that comes out is considered a mashka, a beverage, so too, a halfway killing, which is the blood of a wound, is also considered a mashka, and that's obviously shalei l'ratzon, non-willingly, so the woman's milk, which on some level is what happens with her blood, that it goes ahead and it gets transformed into her milk, so too that milk has the same status, that even if it's shalei l'ratzon, it will also convey tumah. So therefore the Gemara says you can't compare that to an animal, because by a woman there's a reason to say why her milk will be chamer. Whereas yitami chalev habehema, should we say that we should make something susceptible to tumah from the milk of an animal, and we continue on the top of memdalim and alim shaloi l'ratzon, even if the milk was taken out against the will, shadama gefasa tar, where there the blood of the wound of an animal is tar, that does not make an item susceptible to tumah. Because an animal is not included in the chalal. The whole source of having blood being considered as a beverage to make something susceptible to tumah is from the pasuk of Adam chalal m'yishta, that the blood of a slain he will drink, which is that it's considered a mashka. Now an animal is not called a chalal, it's not called a slain, and therefore the blood of an animal doesn't have this whole domino effect to consider that it's even shleil ratzim, because they don't have their blood, the wound of an animal, or the dead animal is not considered their blood as a mashka, and therefore we cannot make the same hishtalshlis like we find by the woman, that we say just like her blood is shleil ratzim, and her milk is a derivative on some level from that blood, therefore we say that just like that's even shleil ratzim mitame, because no one wants to have a wound, and still the blood is considered a mashka, a beverage, to make something similar, so too her milk. But an animal, you don't have that logic, because their blood does not convey tumah, does not make something susceptible to tumah, and therefore, there the milk will only be l'ratzin as a mashka, but not if it's shaloi l'ratzin. However, Rashi does tell us, however, the blood that comes from slaughtering an animal, that blood does convey tumah, that could make something susceptible to be vulnerable to tumah, because that blood is compared to water. As the Pasuk in Devarim, Perigud Beis says, Allah oris tishpachena kamayim, that on the earth you will pour it like water, that is the dam of the shechita. But regular blood from the wound of an animal, for example, dam agifasa of an animal, doesn't have this quality of shalei l'ratzon, and therefore it will not be taken to the next of the logic of saying the same thing for the animal's milk, to be also shalei l'ratzon, and therefore this is where the Gemara stands right now. We're in the middle of the Mishnah again, of Machshirin, where the Gemara is using this Mishnah as a tool to ask on Rabbi Huda, who he said, the Gemara said that it seems that he's saying that even Stam, without any intention whatsoever, on the mulberries and the pomegranates, that it'll be considered like Lamashka, that's your intention for it, and therefore the Mashka and Shazav will be Aser. The Gemara is going to develop on the following Dav, how we see from a Mishnah a question on that statement.